righty. Loves, it is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. I'm sure we will return to our discussion on the wind turbine issue of Lake Erie, on Lake Erie. But I want to go for a reaction to what we just heard from the Buffalo Police Commissioner and the Buffalo Police Department regarding the fatal shooting of a Buffalo man by Buffalo Police on Saturday. And joining us, if you could bring him up, Tanner, we have Jeff Rinaldo, retired Buffalo Police Captain and currently with Vista Security. Thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate your time. What are your general thoughts, having presumably seen the video and having heard the news conference?
Good afternoon, Tom. Well, based on the commissioner's conference and then having just watched the video, I think his comments were spot on. This was obviously an individual that was suffering from some type of mental health breakdown and unfortunately chose a suicide by cop situation to bring a conclusion to his life. And it's unfortunate for him. It's unfortunate for his family. And it's also unfortunate for the officers that had to respond and take that action in order to protect themselves and others.
You know, I remember when the idea of body cams was first talked about for police officers, and I remember there being quite a bit of opposition among police officers to body cams, but this is a situation where the body cams proved to exculpate the officers, I think, from any wrongdoing, any misuse of force, and vindicate what they had to do.
Absolutely. I mean, it's obvious that from the moment they arrived on scene, this individual had the weapon in his hand already. He was prepared to use it. He actually did fire it at the officers. You know, at that point, you have to take action. You have to defend yourself. This is a residential street in the middle of the day. Other people could have been harmed by this individual. Who knows where else he might have pointed that weapon. So I think they were left with only one choice, and that was to use deadly physical force.
You know, one of the amazing things to me is that this individual fired a round at police and they did not return fire after that round was fired at them.
Absolutely. It shows you the length of restraint that they exercised in giving this individual every single possible opportunity to stop being a threat and to not force them to have to use their firearms. Like you said, he fired once. They again attempted to disarm him using verbal commands. They attempted to de-escalate this, and it just was not going to work. And then the second time he goes to level the weapon, they're left with no choice. You know, you have to take action at that point.
You know, Jeff, one of the other things that hits me watching the video is the training kicking in. With the police officers, not only with the positions they took up, but the way they approached the suspect, went down, and then the immediate calling for the EMS people and the chest compressions actually begun before the fire department arrived. Can you talk about training for a situation like this and the importance of that?
Sure. I mean, you know, all the officers are trained that, you know, if you are used to use some level of force, once the situation has stopped, your next priority is the rendering of aid to that person immediately. And it's not waiting for an ambulance to arrive or the fire department. It's the officers doing everything that they can, utilizing their training to attempt to preserve life. And I think that's exactly what you saw here. These officers immediately assessed the individual. They made sure the weapon was secure, and then they began life-saving first aid. Unfortunately, it just didn't work in this situation. But, you know, again, it just goes to show you the lengths that the Buffalo Police Department takes to attempt to stop these situations from occurring, de-escalate them, and if force needs to be used, immediately rendering first aid.
I'd like your thoughts on the number of rounds that were fired at the suspect.
You know, again, Tom, no police officer is a sharpshooter. You know, having been through the academy, having, you know, fired thousands of rounds in training situations, officers are taught to fire at the subject until the threat is over, meaning that they're on the ground or they're disarmed or they've surrendered. So, you know, people think they get hung up on the fact that, well, how many rounds were fired? You can fire 15 rounds out of a Glock handgun in about 3 or 4 seconds. It's extremely quick the way the rounds can come out of that weapon. So I think that, you know, it would be great if cops were sharpshooters and could guarantee under a high-stress situation that one shot, one target, one hit, but that's just not the reality of it. Officers are taught to fire until the threat is down. And based on, you know, the angle of the view, it appeared that that's exactly what happened. Officers fired until the subject hit the ground. You do hear one of the officers yelling. It appears he rolled towards the gun. They did not resume firing because he was not a threat at that point. He was on the ground. He never made it to the gun again. So, again, this is professionalism at its finest. They utilized their training, and they did everything based on what I'm seeing in the video by the book.
And 50 feet is not 10 feet.
Correct. It's going to be a lot harder with a handgun to be accurate and on target at 50 feet than it is in a close encounter of 5 to 7 feet, which is where most of these situations do occur. It's generally within 3 to 7 feet a fire battle occurs. This is at a pretty good distance. And again, officers' training proves they were able to get, rounds on target. Thankfully, nobody else was injured, either by the suspect's weapon that was fired and or the officers.
Now, will the crime scene people, or have the crime scene people, according to protocol, have they already combed the neighborhood to recover every round that was fired?
I'm sure they will. You know, they can tell based on how many rounds were left in both of the officers' guns, exactly how many were fired, and they will do everything they can to try and account for every one of those rounds where they might have wound up. Generally, you know, you can find most of them, but sometimes you can't. It just depends on the backdrop and the environment and where those rounds went.
I don't know if this is an appropriate question, but I will ask anyway. Do you have, from your career and history in the Buffalo Police Department, any familiarity with the individual who was shot?
I do not, and the name doesn't ring a bell with me. I'm sure part of the investigation now is going to see, obviously, what type of criminal involvement did this individual have, what was his mental health history. Were crisis services or other mental health services called previously for this individual? And again, an important question is, if you did have a mental health history or a criminal history, how did you get access to this firearm in the first place?
We're talking with Jeff Rinaldo, retired captain, Buffalo Police Department, with Vista Security on the Trocare College WBEN Lifeline on News Radio 930 WBEN. You talked about the effects on the officers in a situation like this. None of these officers woke up on Saturday morning thinking, hey, today's the day I get to discharge my firearm at a suspect.
Absolutely not. It's the absolute last thing that any police officer wants to do. They do not want to be faced with a situation where they have to take somebody's life. It's a nightmare. Yes, officers are trained to deal with it. They're trained to do it. And it's just a situation that you do everything in your power to avoid having to do.
The quickness with which the Buffalo Police Department and the transparency with which the Buffalo Police Department dealt with this situation, what does that do in terms of community relations, community support for the police?
Well, again, I think that the community, regardless of where you live, the community does have a right to know how police officers acted in a particular situation. In a situation like this, you have your police department took the life of somebody, and people have the right to know what occurred. Was it justified? And, you know, what exactly, happened in this situation? What brought them to this person? So I think that the Buffalo Police Department has done an excellent job in the last couple of years of getting this video put together. And not only just releasing the video, but giving you kind of the backstory. They're giving you the 911 call. They're giving you the radio dispatch that sent the officers there. You're getting the radio traffic between the officers and the dispatcher. So I think that, you know, in terms of transparency, there's absolutely no argument to be made that the department is not being transparent. They're giving you the names of the officers involved. They're giving you the time that they've had on the job. And what they're not doing is they're not disparaging the suspect. They're simply giving you his name, and they're not going to get into details about his family or emotions or what people are thinking or saying. I think in this case, they have definitely fulfilled their obligation to their community that they police.
In the case of a mental health situation, are there also concerns about violations of his medical privacy?
There are. I mean, again, I think eventually those things will probably come out through other sources. But, you know, in situations like this, you hope that there has been, or the goal is always in these situations that if there has been mental health intervention in the past, that it would be successful. But unfortunately, you know, what we're seeing more and more in this country, not just here in Buffalo, is that the mental health system is overtasked, overworked, and is just not effective in dealing with some people. And, you know, in a situation like this, you would be hard-pressed to make the argument that he was not suffering some kind of mental health breakdown. Unfortunately, instead of calling for help, he called to have these officers, unfortunately, commit his suicide.
Stay with us, if you would. Retired Police Captain Jeff Rinaldo, BPD, with Vista Security on the Trocare College WBEN live line. In a case like this, will toxicology tests be done on the man who was shot by Buffalo police to determine if any substances were in his body, such as alcohol or drugs?
Absolutely. You'll see a full medical examination and autopsy being conducted. And exactly as you said, they will want to try to determine to the best of their ability the state that this person was in. Was he intoxicated? Was he high? Was he prescribed medications? And were they present in the system that day? So did that affect his judgment? They will do everything they can to try to recreate the circumstances and the situation this individual was in prior to this event occurring.
And, you know, the only thing that matters in a situation like this, at least in New York State, is Article 35 of the New York State Penal Code, which police officers and, of course, many others need to familiarize themselves with if they carry a firearm or a deadly weapon or are particularly adept at fighting, I guess.
Exactly. That is the standard by which the police, as well as a civilian, is measured when it comes to looking at situations where deadly physical force is exercised. The difference here is as a citizen, you would have a duty to retreat. The police obviously do not have that obligation, and therefore, they are put in a position where they have to address this threat and attempt to stop it.
So, according to protocol and procedure, where does this go next with all the investigative bodies that hop into it when police are forced to use deadly physical force?
So, as per an executive order under Governor Cuomo, actually, I believe he was the first governor to enact it, the New York State Attorney General's office does an independent investigation. They will look at all of the evidence. They will conduct interviews, and they will reach an independent conclusion as to whether or not the officer's actions were justified, and then they will offer some opinions in terms of what, if anything, they think can be done differently or better. Obviously, in this case, this was such a quick unfolding situation, I don't see where there could be room for anything else, especially given the fact that the individual was armed with a long gun, which its range is twice, if not more, of that than somebody armed with a handgun. After that, or I should say concurrent with that, the Buffalo Police Homicide Department will conduct a investigation, and they will look at much of the same evidence that the AG's office is, as well as at the conclusion of that, then the Internal Affairs Division of the department will conduct a third review of the situation, focusing more on whether or not policies and procedures of the manual for police were adhered to.
Let's talk for a moment about what this does to a police officer. and they're on administrative leave right now as per policy, but returning to the job. What, I mean, you've known people who've been involved in officer-involved shootings, I'm quite sure, in your lengthy career. What does it do to the cop involved?
It's a burden that they are saddled with for the rest of their life. It's something that they will never forget. It is a great responsibility taking another human's life, and it's something that most officers thankfully go through their career without having to do, but those that do, thankfully now the department has a lot of resources out there for these officers, whether it's in the form of EAP or the new position that was created there to check on the mental well-being of officers. But the key is that, you know, when I first got hired, you just didn't talk about it. And you saw a lot of bad results for officers that didn't have, you know, effective outlets to deal with trauma and tragedy in situations like this, where now there are a lot of resources. So hopefully these officers, even the ones that didn't have to fire their weapons, hopefully they take advantage of those services and they're able to continue having healthy and productive careers.
Yeah, there's one officer in the video, and the look on his face was, to my way of interpretation, one of absolute shock at what had just unfolded.
Sure. I mean, you know, Buffalo Police, unfortunately, respond to dozens of men with gun calls, if not on a daily basis, definitely on a weekly basis. It's not to say there's anything that you could ever deem a routine call, but it is a common call that goes out in Buffalo. And again, 99.8% of them wind up not being an actual person standing in the middle of the street with a handgun who's then opening fire upon you, or with a rifle or a shotgun for that matter. So, you know, it's one of those situations where in their mind, they never thought that this was going to be the one. But you pull up and a couple seconds later, that's what you're faced with.
Captain, thanks very much. I appreciate your time and insight.
Thank you.
Captain Jeff Rinaldo, Buffalo Police Department, retired with Vista Security.